from the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz. Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
It's a very special edition of the Roz and Mocha Show podcast. This one is dedicated to Ask Roz and Mocha.
Yeah.
As in, the entire episode is Ask Roz and Mocha. It has quickly become the most popular segment on the podcast because it happens only on the podcast. And every week when we post at Kiss925 on Instagram, we get flooded with questions and we just can't get to every single one.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try to do that with this episode of the podcast. We're going to go through questions that we've received recently and also dip into the archives and go through questions that we've received since the beginning of the Roz and Mocha Show podcast. And throughout this entire episode, we're going to get a bunch of you on the phone with us to ask your question.
So you want to start off with somebody on the phone?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, so I'm here, Roz. Mocha's here. Damn it, Maury is with us. And joining us on the phone is Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
Hello, how are you?
Doing great. Welcome to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast, a special edition. How old are you, Melissa?
27.
What's your situation like right now? You married, you engaged, you dating, single?
Dating. We're dating. Right. It's been about 6 years now. We've lived together for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Have a little puppy dog. Things are getting real.
Okay. So right. What's your question, hon?
My question is, what are your thoughts on guys who don't want to wear a wedding ring?
Oh.
Like, not wear it entirely or every now and then not wearing it?
Like, he says he doesn't like jewelry.
Yeah.
So he says if we get married, he doesn't want to wear a ring.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, when we met, he was rocking earrings and bracelets. And I'm pretty sure those are jewelry.
Right? Oh, snap.
Someone's lying to you.
Okay. I will say this. My dad put his wedding ring on his finger the day that he married my mom. And when he got out of the church, he took it off and never put it back on again.
Yeah.
Because he worked with his hands. He worked with machines.
Sure.
And you're not allowed to wear any sort of finger jewelry because if it gets caught, it'll take the finger right off.
But that makes sense.
So I know a lot of guys, I have tons of friends actually who are married, but they don't wear a ring, but for 100% safety reasons. Right. And the reason why they don't just then put it on the weekend is because their hands are usually so swollen from banging them at work that the ring doesn't even fit anymore. And then you got to talk about going to get it resized and everything else. So I understand when there are reasons to not
wear.
Couldn't
your dad have wore around his neck, like on a necklace?
On a necklace?
Like a charm?
I don't want that either.
Like a pimp?
Yeah.
No.
Wait. So, Melissa, what does your boyfriend do for a living that? Like, would that affect him being able to wear a ring or not?
Oh, no.
No, he's got office hands. He's fine.
Oh, okay. So he just doesn't want to wear it.
Yes.
Oh,
is that a big deal, though, for you? I guess it is if you're asking the question, right?
I don't know. I was just taken aback because I was excited to wear a ring when we get married. And I don't know. I know. So I wanted to ask you guys because, Roz, you're not married and Mocha is. So I just wanted to hear your two kind of thoughts on that.
I've been married.
Did you wear your ring?
I did, yes. When I was married, I wore a wedding ring. Yeah. Yeah, and because I wore lots of jewelry. Like you couldn't even tell that it was a wedding ring because all my fingers were just full of bling. It was the time, right? So have you had this conversation with him as to why he does not want to wear it?
His biggest thing is the jewelry thing
that he doesn't like jewelry.
Yeah.
And did you say, but when we hooked up, you were like Mr. Bling?
No, I'm not that ballsy.
Does it really bother you this much?
I guess not really, after hearing what you guys had to say.
Is it a deal breaker?
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, if you love him and he loves you and you eventually get married, like, you know you love him, you know he loves you. He knows he loves you, he knows you love him. So does it even matter?
I guess not.
No. Okay. Does he have a life where he sort of goes out after work and stuff like that and flirts with women?
No, he's home when I leave, and he's home when I get home.
Okay, so you're not worried about that.
So it gets the women out of the out of your place before you get home.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I guess they're gone by the time I get home.
No, see, you can't do that. That's beyond not wearing a wedding ring. That's when you guys start taking pictures of your wife off the walls and stuff like that. Like, I don't think anybody brings the affair home.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, I don't think you have anything to worry about, Melissa.
I don't know what drives me nuts, though, because I wear my wedding ring all the time.
Sure.
Matthew, the actual wedding ring is put away, and he has a backup wedding ring that he only wears to work. But when we're home, he never wears his ring, and it drives me nuts.
Why does it drive you nuts?
Because I'm just like, you have two wedding rings. Sure. Wear one of them around the house. Yeah. I mean, it'd be nice. Like, that's when we're together.
Yeah, I agree. I see both sides.
But he doesn't want to wear it because he washes the dishes. He doesn't want to wear it, you know, when he's washing his hands. So he's worried about getting it ruined, is what he says.
Really?
You know what? What about the backup? I'll say, if I'm at home and I have to wash the dishes or clean stuff up, I will also take my wedding ring off. But then I put it back on.
I wear mine washing dishes, shower all the time.
Yeah, me too. That's the way I was.
I don't even wear my wedding ring in the shower. No way. Just in case.
Really?
I take it off when I'm in the shower. But I put it right back on.
Just in case. See, for me, if I took anything off, I'd lose it. Mm-hmm. Like, everything has to be attached to me. Otherwise, I will lose it. If I took my wedding ring off to take a shower, if I had a wedding ring, it would be gone. I would, something would happen to it. I would knock it with a hairdryer or the flat iron or one of my many products or my makeup bag or whatever it was. I would knock it with something and it would be out of my life. And I would have to then go to Catherine and say that I lost my wedding ring. But if it bothers you that much, I think that you should tell him how you feel.
Okay.
Okay?
Or he could wear it around his neck on it like a charm.
No, don't wear it around your neck like a charm on a necklace. Like every day he's on his way to Mordor.
One ring to rule them all. Thanks, Melissa.
Thanks, Roz and Mocha. I love you guys.
Right, love you too. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye.
All right. Assy Ganon, who likes to comment all the time and asks a ton of questions for Ask Roz and Mocha.
Yeah.
Would you rather have to fart loudly once every time you have a serious conversation or have to burp after every kiss?
Burp after every kiss.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say fart loudly after every serious conversation.
I'm so gassy, guys, right?
Oh, we know.
I'm so gassy that I can't tell you the amount of times that Catherine and I will kiss and she'll look at me and go, did you just burp in my mouth?
Ew!
Because it's just like stomach growling, right?
That's
like
it'll gross.
Just like I'll get a stomach rumble. You know how my stomach rumbles.
I know. Loud.
I have a very active, loud stomach.
You sound like the Cloverfield monster.
Thank you. And oftentimes when we're kissing, she'll ask me if I burped in her mouth. And I didn't just burp in her mouth, but I would much rather a burp after a kiss than a loud fart after a serious conversation.
Yeah, I would rather a loud fart because, like, my wife and I, we kiss a lot.
Yeah.
And I kiss more than I have serious conversations.
Yeah, but no. But we're just not talking with your couple. We're talking like serious conversations that you have with anyone. I only kiss Catherine. So that's a problem that I will only have at home.
I'd still rather fart loudly after a serious conversation.
No way.
Does it say only kiss with your... It just says after a kiss. So it could be after you kiss anybody.
Yeah, but who else are you
kissing? Who else are you kissing, Maury?
Like family on the cheek, right?
No, I don't actually. I don't. I don't kiss other people.
Okay, well, I would still say the fart thing because then no one's ever going to want to kiss you again.
Would you rather fart once? Loudly,
I don't know, Maury.
Every time
you should check that answer because for
or
you,
have to burp after
you
every
have
kiss.
More serious conversations than you do kissing Matthew.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Maury feels so awkward.
But not
right
okay.
Now.
But let me. Okay. So here, let's talk about the show here, guys, for a second.
Sure.
So like, we don't kiss each other, and so therefore the burping after kissing would never be a problem. But what if we're on the radio one day talking about something like the synagogue shooting?
Right.
That is a serious conversation. Both of you are going to fart loudly during that.
Okay, well, you can't. Okay, fine.
Right?
Maybe the burping thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to fart after talking about a shooting.
Right?
After shooting.
No, or like what if you're...
That's like mad disrespectful.
Yes.
Like, so you'd be farting at a funeral.
What if somebody comes to you and they tell you they have terrible news, that they have a family member that's ill and they need your assistance and you're going to fart during that conversation loudly?
Okay, I'll pick the burp thing then.
Right?
I'm still doing the fart thing because I don't want to burp in someone else's mouth.
Okay. We spent too much time on this question.
Next question.
This is ridiculous.
Listen, they need, I can't just blow past that.
Mario asks, if you could time travel and witness any moment in modern history, let's say from 1940 and forward, what would you witness and why? Damn it, Maury, go.
I would want to witness all the actual painting happening in Andy Warhol's factory. I would love to be at all those factory parties and stuff.
So you would just kind of like weasel your way into
I'd be one of the factory girls. Yeah.
One of the factory girls. Ross?
I don't know. You know, it's interesting. I don't think about this stuff too often because I don't think about what I've missed.
The Great Depression.
The Great Depression?
Why would you want to witness that?
First of all,
how great it was.
Oh, no.
You don't think that it was a real fantastic depression.
Why else are they calling it great?
Because it was grand. Like it was expansive. It was all consuming.
Oh, okay.
Not...
like a fun time.
Not a fun time. No, that great depression.
Like, welcome to the party, everybody.
Also, I can understand if it was anything that you'd be confused, but the word that follows great is depression.
Yeah.
Okay, how about prohibition?
Right.
That wasn't great either.
No, jeez, man. Okay, so 1940.
Why would you want to go and see the prohibition era?
Well, because you can go into those cool bars that are hidden behind a phone booth.
Yeah, no, I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't really have any like, because history, I love history, but there's not really something that I would want to sort of experience. I mean, I would, you know, maybe like to have lived in the world when everybody to just feel what it was like to be part of something where everybody just watched a guy land on the moon. Like, I think that that would be really monumental. I think that I would have liked that experience to share that with people. But other than like stuff like that, I don't really, because it's just history to me. And I don't have a great desire to sort of go back and live through things.
What about being in, you know, being around when your parents were kids? What if you went back to seeing what they were like as children?
No, I wouldn't want that because my dad had a really sad childhood.
Oh, wow.
And my mom, no, I wouldn't want, why would I want to see my mom when she was young? My mom's my mom. I have no desire. And then what is going to happen? My mom's going to kiss me and my brother's going to start to disappear from a picture. Right?
In the future.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I, there's no doubt in my mind.
I have two.
Yeah.
One, actually on a personal level, where I would want to go back to the time to see the interaction because I kind of remember it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
In this neighborhood that I grew up in, I was riding my bike down the street. These two guys are messing with me. And they did something. They kicked my bike or something. And I like hit a pole or a tree or something. Yeah. And I told my dad, and my dad grabbed me, put me in the car, went looking for these guys in the neighborhood. And I pointed out the guys to my dad, and he got out of the car, and then there was a fight.
Oh,
but
Jesus.
I only remember like bits and pieces of it. My dad won, but I'd like to go back to that time to see how it all went down and what exactly was said.
Did you stay in the car?
I was in the car.
Yeah.
I was in the back seat.
How old were you? Like what, like eight?
Younger, like maybe six.
And how old were these guys?
Like teenagers or...
Oh, okay, not eight. Older? Your dad didn't fight a bunch of eight-year-olds.
No.
Oh, okay.
But I remember there was an adult
it's like
involved.
Hitting him with a briefcase.
I think there was like a guy saw something happening, like the argument, and came out of his house, and then my dad fought that guy or something.
Yeah. When dads start fighting, it gets... it's scary when you're a kid, man.
Yeah, but I'd want to go back to see that interaction.
Yeah, to watch your dad whoop some kid's ass.
Either a kid or an adult. I don't know.
I think it was a kid.
So not the Great Depression.
Not the Great Depression.
The other date I'd go back to is to see when Hulk Hogan joined the NWO and WCW.
But you were alive for then.
I know, but I wanted to like be there in the arena.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow.
When he leg dropped Macho Man, right. And I was like, oh my God, Hogan,
so out of all the
doing?
Things that you could have done, you want to go back to like the early 2000s?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. Fair enough. That's when you know you're a wrestling fan.
All right.
Somebody on the phone. Mark.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Manuel is on the phone.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the All Ask Roz and Mocha podcast. What's your question?
My question was, so it was based on your names, because you all have a very unique name. So
yeah.
I was wondering, when you were growing up, if you had any nicknames. whether it's something a family member might have called you or a cool sounding name from one of your friends.
A cool sounding name. No, I had an uncle that used to call my brother and I Skinny Marink and Bubbly Belly.
Let me guess. You were Skinny Marink.
No, I wasn't.
You were Bubbly Belly?
Yeah. Yeah, my Uncle Gary used to call us Skinny Marink and Bubbly Belly. You know, thank God that didn't stick.
I don't think I ever had... No, I didn't have any nicknames.
Did anybody give you a nickname?
I had three. At high school...
Okay, wait. So tell us who named you first. Start with
Luke Fair.
Okay, and then...
Now a famous DJ.
Yeah.
He named me Morphine.
Yeah. The DJ gave you the nickname Morphine.
Okay.
Family called me Mo.
Yeah.
And my dad's coworkers called me Little Mort. Because he still is today. My dad is Mort. I have no idea, but everyone at work called, hey, Mort, what's going on, Mort? Huh? And when I'd show up to visit, still, oh, look, it's Little Mort's here. Wow. Little Mort.
And see, in my high school, there was a weird thing that guys did, this group of guys with nicknames, and your nickname, they would call you your father's name.
Oh, really?
It was weird. They all referred to this group of friends, all referred to each other as their father's name.
I wonder why.
Right? Yeah. So it was like one guy, like his name was, I don't know, I think it was maybe Shelton or something like that. But they had, like, growing up, like the only people that called him, they just called him Cecil. Because that was his dad's name. And like you and your friends would call you Vern. You know what I mean? They'd call me Ralphie. Like, it was super weird. It was super weird. But nicknames were all the sort of rage back then. But I didn't really have a huge nickname.
Yeah, like, you did from your uncle, Jiggly Belly.
No, it wasn't Jiggly Belly.
No, that's what Matthew calls you right now, Mario. Mark, did you have any nicknames growing up?
Well, my dad's Filipino, and one of the father-to-son kind of nicknames is Bong. It kind of sounds like Bong, but it's like a hard O, Bong. The Filipino thing, I don't even know if it means anything.
Bong?
But my dad called me that growing up.
Bone.
Bong, like B-O-N-G.
Oh, Bong.
Bong.
Kind of like, it's spelled like Bong, but it's a long O.
Bong. Sure.
Bong, yeah. It's a Filipino thing.
What's the significance of that?
I don't know. I have no idea. I asked him once, and he's like, oh, it's just the term of endearment.
I'm
like, all right, whatever.
So you and your pops are like, what's up, Bone? He's like, nothing. What's up going on with you, Bone?
not so much, no.
Oh, okay.
All right, Mark, thanks so much.
My dad was a smooth pool dude.
Oh, all right, shut up, dude. Stop it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Anita Claw says, what is the one thing you miss doing as a kid?
Oh, jeez.
I will say...
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing?
And having free time to do nothing, everything. Don't have to worry about bills. Don't have to worry about getting around town because you're... Parents kind of drag you around everywhere. Don't have to worry about buying stuff because you get money from your folks. Maybe your folks buy everything. They're the ones that are in charge of, keeping the fridge full, all that stuff. Just being a kid and having...
So you miss everything about being a kid.
Everything.
Okay.
And just living a carefree life. Yeah, man.
Wow. Okay, so you just ran through everything that it means to be a child.
Yeah.
Maury, do you have one thing? Because it says... What is the one thing you miss doing as a kid?
I just miss living alone with my dad. You know, now he has a whole new family. I just missed that time where it was just
okay. So you again with the whole being a kid thing? Can you name one thing? Is there one specific thing that you miss?
I guess throwing the ball around.
You threw the ball around with your dad?
Yeah, I hated it.
Oh,
but now I miss it.
You hated it then, but now you miss it.
Why did you hate it?
I just knew that when I was out there, I'd much rather been inside playing with my Legos or eating chocolate. You know? And then he's like, oh, let's go throw the ball around. And I could tell he didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it, but he had to do it because he's a parent.
Isn't that so funny that he didn't want to do it and you didn't want to do it, but he just felt that this is what dads are supposed to do with their boys? Isn't that funny? I think that happens quite often.
But now I really do. He's like, go play with your brothers.
Yeah, because oftentimes I'll ask Roxy if she wants to do like some very like just basic kid thing. And I was like, you want to do this? She's like, no. I'm like, okay. I'm like, because I really don't either. Yeah. But had you said yes, I would have. But like, I'm not really into that right now either. I don't know. And I think that that's the stuff that you do. Those are the things that you miss. I think the frivolousness of... you know, childhood or being a kid, or as Mocha said, just, you know, no responsibilities and Like that's
like having
just,
your clothes laid out for you.
Yeah, and the crap thing. Ew. How? Like,
hold on.
At what
don't
age
even,
did that stop?
Maury, don't even play. Matthew still lays your clothes out for you right now.
It's truth.
Yeah, the only thing you and Matthew don't do is throw the ball around. But other than that, he's pretty much your daddy.
Truth.
Right? But no, those are the things that you miss.
Do you,
you
miss
know?
Your long hair?
Do I miss my long hair? Yeah, some days
actually,
I miss my
hair. Yeah,
some
I miss my long hair too.
Well, but Roz had gorgeous
yeah,
long hair.
Some days I miss my long hair.
I used to condition when I had my hair that went like past my shoulders.
Yeah.
Well, boy, I used to condition it like every other day.
Yeah.
Or like every 3 days.
This is the best.
Oh,
huh?
So nice and soft. Yeah. And then I blow dry it.
Don't either of you miss getting like in trouble with your parents? Like, you know, the feeling of, oh, I'm like the thought of.
What?
Oh,
no, that was terrible. My dad used to beat me. Are you nuts?
Oh, sorry about that.
No, I don't miss getting in trouble.
Yeah, don't you miss corporal punishment when your dad used to take you
no,
down to the basement?
I don't. Throw, I don't miss that at all.
Throw darts at your ass. Like, I wouldn't miss that. Next question. This comes from Stephen Vodnikarov. All right, Stephen, there you go. What's the one thing that you do that your spouse can't stand but still puts up with? What's the one thing? A lot of this.
Like, yo, yeah. I got a list.
A lot of this one thing that's going to turn into my entire life, right, Maury?
Yeah. I would say the top of the list, though, is picking my nose.
Picking your nose. He hates that.
Because then when he does the laundry, like my pajamas are covered in boogers.
Oh, yeah, because if you're new to the podcast or new to the show, welcome, by the way. Because when Maury picks his nose, he reaches into his jeans and wipes the boogers on the top of his boxer shorts.
Like, or when even, I'm in my pajamas, just on the pajamas.
On the pajamas, right. Like, even while at work, like, Moore will just pick his nose and put a booger down his pants and stick it to the front of his boxer shorts.
But if you
shorts.
Get, like, a long one, like one of those long, clear ones on your pajamas, you have to rub it in.
This is so gross.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Come on, everybody, right?
I can't be alone, right?
Am I right?
Oh, that is friggin' gross.
Okay, over to you, Mocha.
What's the one thing that you do that your spouse can't stand but puts up with? Okay.
Yeah.
I think probably like my night terrors when I scream and I wake up the entire bedroom.
But she, what do you mean she can't stand it? Doesn't she have sympathy for you in that situation or no?
I mean, I think it was just more of an annoyance, right?
Right.
Because like, who wants to be woken up at like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning?
Right.
When a grown adult is next to you screaming because of a night terror.
Yes, right. Yes. No, you're right. You're right.
I have a similar one, though, because Matthew hates when I breathe when I sleep, so he hits me.
Is that why you wake up with a pillow on your face every day?
How about you, Roz? What's the one thing that you do that Catherine can't stand but puts up with?
I mean, I'm rude. You know, like...
Yeah, true.
No, but I will say this. Jeez, if she asks to me, if somebody asks me a question, time is precious. And if the answer is no, I just say no.
Yeah.
Right. But to Catherine, if she asks me if I want something, I have to then say like, no, thank you. Or no, you know what? I'm not really interested in that. Maybe I'll do this. Or what? I just say no. If she just asks me a question, you know, she made soup and she's like, hey, do you want a bowl of soup? I go, no.
And she takes that as being rude.
Right. I'm incredibly...
It's like, say no, but also give an explanation, right. give a reason.
But you don't need a reason. We're only talking about soup. You know, if she said, hey, you know, do you want to go away for the weekend and we can do this? I'd be like, no, because I kind of got this thing going on. I maybe want to do other stuff. But when we're talking about something like soup, no is fine.
You could, but she's expecting like, no, I ate something already. I'm feeling a little bit full.
Or even no thank you,
right.
Which I don't understand why you have to throw thank you on the end of saying no. I've never understood
offered,
that.
She wants you to decline politely.
Right, but I didn't accept, therefore I don't have to say thank you.
Oh, wow.
I said no.
Do you answer the same way when she asks for cuddles?
First of all, she doesn't ask for cuddles. Who asks for cuddles?
Oh.
No, she knows.
Wait, do you ask for cuddles?
Yes.
How do you ask for cuddles?
Usually even no matter what day of the week it is, I'm like, Sunday hug.
Right. We know Sunday hug, but what do you do the rest of the 6 days?
I still say Sunday hug.
Oh. So do you cuddle on the couch? Like, are you ever just sitting there cuddling?
I'm allowed to put my head on his butt.
Right. Like while he's sitting?
Like if he's on his side, I'll use his butt as a pillow.
Yeah, yeah. I do that with Catherine too. But I always wind up falling asleep and then I'll get hell because she'll say, why are you sitting so far from me? Because we have this huge long couch. And I'm like, well, first of all, I was here first, right? So if you want to sit close to me and you've just walked into the room, it's your job to then come and sit close to me. But when I'm on the couch and you come and you sit on the other end of the couch, you can't look at me and go, why don't you ever sit with me? I'm here already. You just walked in the room. You can come and sit with me.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
A lot of people problems.
And then she goes, come and sit with me. And I go, no.
I got soup to eat.
And I don't want your goddamn soup.
All right, let's continue with Ask Roz and Mocha by getting some folks on the phone.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good.
What is your name?
My name is Tori.
Tori, what is your question?
It's actually a two-part question. So as a woman, as a mom, I'm always asked, you know, do you want more kids? Because I have two girls, people ask, oh, don't you want a boy? And I know, Roz, you have one girl, and Mocha, you have your son.
Yeah.
So I would love to know, number one, do you want more kids? And number two, how do you balance being a father from a father's standpoint?
Oh, boy.
I will say this, and maybe you, because you just don't, like, hang out and socialize with dudes or whatever, but I get asked if we're having a second kid as often as Catherine would. Like, it's not, I don't think that that's a female exclusive thing because. And
really?
No, it's not. I constantly get asked if we're having a second kid. Constantly. And, yeah. The answer to that is no.
Yeah.
We're not.
And that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not going to have a second kid. We are good with one. I've made sure that there's no accidents can happen.
Yeah.
And,
oh, snip, snip.
Gotcha. What's that?
Snip, snip?
Yeah, I have a vasectomy, yeah. Maury.
Oh. You can say it, man. Yeah. We're all grown adults here, yeah, in this conversation.
Maury just looked at me and went, snip, 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 snip.
And he did the snip, he did snip. The motion with his index fingers. And his middle finger, snip, snip. Like scissors.
Snip, snip. So I don't want another. Now, that doesn't mean that down the road, you know, we wouldn't consider, you know, another way of having one or who knows. But we're good with one. And I'll tell you, for me, this is not a reason, you know, it's not the reason, but it's something that I think about often when it comes to kids, because I love my kids so much and she's just awesome. And I have a brother, I have a brother that I'm extremely close with and I still live with my brother. I'm 44 years old and we still live in the same house. And
oh my God, I love it.
Right. And I'll tell you, I would be heartbroken because I know people who hate their sibling. Mm. And I don't know how I would function as an adult if 20 years from now I had two kids where they hated each other. I would feel like I failed. I would feel like I failed. Yeah. You know? And it's nothing you can control. And people are different and I get all that, and that is not a reason to not have a second kid, but I think about that all the time. I really do. Yeah.
There's so many layers to it.
Oh, of course. My wife and I have talked about having another, and I think we will when that happens. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we definitely want to have another, but then that's it.
Yeah.
Like, we want two and done.
Yeah.
The only way it'll be three is if we go for round two and it ends up being twins. Right. And at that point, oh my God. I don't know what I would do.
Have you ever met somebody that has three kids?
Yes.
Yes. Well, my parents, first of all.
No, I'm the oldest of three. I mean, do you know anybody right now who's dealing with three young kids?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have
it's a
friend.
It's a nightmare.
Who, after their first, right?
Yeah.
The kid was, I believe, just about to turn two.
Yeah.
They got pregnant again and found out that they were having twins.
No. No, 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 no. That's
crazy.
Too much.
It's right?
Too much.
It's
and
crazy.
Their house is loud.
Yeah.
And they are busy.
Yeah. They're messy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we would definitely go for number two. And part of your question, you said, what's the best thing about being a parent? I would say being a parent and going through those everyday moments, you know, as much as I love coming in here every single day and doing this show, like I look forward so much to getting home to my family and spending time with them and just hanging out with our son Cruz, right? Mm-hmm. Like in the morning when I leave, like I miss that. I don't get to the way I do on a Saturday or Sunday, wake up, to him being awake and standing in his crib and, you know, looking towards the bedroom door for us to walk into that room and seeing that look on his face. I hate that I don't get to see that Monday to Friday, you know? And
yeah,
I cherish those moments that happen on Saturday and Sundays. But at the same time, like, nothing makes me happier than when I walk through that front door and I see him running down the hallway.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Towards me, right? Like, yeah, it really is the best.
I'm at the point now where my kid is 8 and a half, and we're at the point where if she asks to sleep with us now, I always say yes.
Oh, of course.
Always say yes. Because we're on the clock where we're not too far off of where she doesn't want to sleep with us anymore.
Yeah, she's gonna look at you and be like, lame.
Yeah. So every single time now when she says, "Hey, can I sleep with you guys tonight?" I'm always like, yes. We went, I think, a week and a half straight not that long ago where we all just slept together, because I'm like, I can't let that go. I don't want to get to that point where she doesn't ask anymore. And so we're now running down the clock on that. Hey, thanks so much for the call.
I actually have a question for you, Tori.
Yeah.
How many kids do you have?
Okay. I have two daughters.
You have two daughters. Okay. How far apart are they in age?
They're 8 and 4.
8 and 4. Okay. So here's my question to you. And I can't believe I've never asked any of my other friends who all have more than one child this question, right? But when it was just you, your husband, and I assume your husband, and your first daughter, you probably in your mind was like, oh my God, I don't know how I'm ever going to be able to love another kid as much as I do this one.
Yes.
Right?
Of course.
Okay. Yes. So what happened when you had that second kid? Because I have these thoughts, and my wife has these thoughts all the time. Like, mm-hmm. we just spend so much time with Cruz and do all these amazing things and just share all these wonderful moments. We always say, like, are we going to rip off our other kid by not being able to share those same moments or love them as much? Or is Cruz going to miss out because...
That?
You know, we have this other kid in our lives, and we're going to want to do all these things with them, that he's going to feel left out.
Well, yeah, exactly. And you think that, but just the same as you thought you could never love something as much as your wife, then Cruz came, and it's insane how much you love Cruz. And when you have another one, if you have another one, it's the same. It's like you can't imagine loving someone so much.
Most people I know that have two kids love one more than the other one, though.
Oh, wow. Damn, you went there for real.
Is your mother in the same boat?
Hey, Tori, we love you lots. Thank you so much for taking part in the podcast today.
Love you guys.
Take care.
Love you too, hon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Chris.
Hey, Chris, what up?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm okay.
Cool. What's your question, Chris?
So this is a question I've actually asked a few of my friends, and I have a couple of my own. But if you guys could give your life story a title, but it couldn't be more than three words, what would they be and why?
Parameters, parameters, parameters,
oh my
bro.
God. No more than three words?
Rules, rules, rules. What's going on here? Okay. So give us some suggestions. What have you and your dudes thought of?
So, well, I had two of them. Mine were either fries with that, because that was the only question I got when I was in high school.
Which was what?
Or,
say it again?
Fries with that, because that was the only question I was asked when I was in high school.
Fries with that. All right, cool. Yeah.
Or silent but deadly, because I felt like my childhood was like a fart. The quiet ones are the ones that cause the most impact.
Wow, dude. Okay. Jesus, I don't know.
Damon Moore, you perked up real quick when he asked that question.
I would just say my title, it would just be Please Try Again.
Please Try Again.
Oh, man, that's sad, though. Please Try Again?
Now, Please Try Again is in on life, or that's constantly what you heard growing up because you've never won anything?
Oh, I'd say completely both. But even in life, like, you know, I mean, I'm very happy with everything I do, but it's just like money, everything.
It's
so
just Please Try Again.
But I don't know if it's three words. Better luck next time.
Count them out.
Better luck next time. It's four.
That's going to be the sequel. All right, Roz, no more than three words.
I don't
Go.
Know. That's really crazy. I don't think that anybody's going to do better than Please Try Again when coming up with the title for the story of your life. Please Try Again. Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's God. That's a real tough one because I take these kind of questions seriously.
Can't yours be sexiest man alive?
Yeah. It could.
Sexiest man alive.
It could. It could. I take these questions real seriously once we start talking about death and sort of summing up your life. And I never really want to be frivolous with an answer. Mocha, what do you have?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wait. No, I got one more for Roz.
Okay, go.
I'm always right.
I'm always right. Okay, go ahead, Mocha.
Be like Vern.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Vern is Mocha's dad, by the way.
That's what the title of my life, because I live my life every day thinking back to growing up and the way my dad lived his life.
Yeah.
Work hard. He was a great husband. He was a great father.
Yeah.
Great with money. Just like a super smart guy and like knows everything. And I try to emulate that. So the title of my life, if it were a movie, would be Like Vern.
Right.
Are you his favorite?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to think on this one, bro. I don't know.
Oh, I got one.
What?
Tight black pants.
Tight black pants. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, we can sum my life up with tight black pants. Yeah, tight black pants. There we go. All said and done.
I mean, if I could help you out, I was going to say smooth, cool dude.
Shut up, dude.
To get on the podcast and to be able to say those words.
We haven't had somebody smooth, cool dude me on the podcast yet.
Wow, he got you.
Dude, you're the worst.
It's out of love.
Yeah, and you know what? And I was the one taking it seriously too. You know what I mean? Like, I was gonna, jackass. Anyway,
oh, no.
Thanks for calling, jerk.
Later, Chris.
Bye. You know, there's always one.
Okay, Virginia asks, if you could bring one thing with you to the afterlife, what would it be?
See, this I do take seriously, and I'm going to tell you this, Virginia, which is I don't do hypotheticals on things like the afterlife because I don't believe there is an afterlife.
Yeah.
So I don't answer questions. I can't even engage in a hypothetical of what I would bring to the afterlife because there is no afterlife.
Okay.
More.
But I would see. I was going to say
What do you mean, but? Yeah.
I was going to say my husband. Then, but that does that
your
mean I'm
husband?
Killing
him?
Like a ghost?
Like if you could take something with you, I'd want to take Matthew. But I'm like thinking, well, then I'm killing him.
Yeah, you would be. Yeah, you would be. God, he would be pissed at you in the afterlife if you killed him just to bring him with you. Oh, my God.
I was going to say all my money, but I'm like, what money?
What does the afterlife look like to you, Mar?
I guess it's kind of like a pool side where we're all in lounge chairs.
Always.
And there's like pool boys.
Right.
Oh, wow. What videos have you been watching on the internet lately, bro?
Yeah. So your afterlife is you, and do you have your body or do you have a different body?
Oh, a different body.
What does your body look like?
You know, the body I've always wanted.
Which
the
is?
Abs, smooth.
Okay. Yeah, no hair.
No hair, flatter nipples.
Flatter nipples. Yeah, because your nipples do look like a cat's nipples.
Yeah, so I like those big flat nipples.
Big flat nipples, like a big round nipple, like the size of
like a pepperoni?
Yeah, I guess like a pepper. Like I like big
nipples.
That's
huge. Yeah.
Like, okay, when
you
say,
really?
Here's my, I've always been on the, I've always struggled with this my whole life. Whenever somebody talks about nipple size. Now, are you talking nipple size as in like the round areola part?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about the part that sticks off? Like, what are you talking about when you...
Then there's the areola,
but the
right?
whole thing is the nipple.
Right, so I wish I didn't have the nipple part and just the flat areola.
So you don't want anything that pokes out. You just want the circular color.
Yeah.
But I don't you like want the poking it bigger.
Yeah, I want the, if I was to sort of squish it in and it disappeared and grew.
So hold on here. You want
so legit like a pepperoni?
You want like big areolas but no nipple pokey part?
That's right, yeah.
That's super weird.
Very.
How big? Show me with your hand how big you would,
I would say like
for you, perfect.
I would say like a quarter.
Your nipples are bigger than a quarter right now.
No, but I don't like the pokey outie.
See, now you keep touching them, so they're getting smaller. I can't get a good. I can't judge their size right now. Your nipple's half the size it was 2 minutes ago.
So I'm not taking my nipples with me.
Right. Okay. So Maury's afterlife looks like a pool party, right?
Yeah, big pool party with.
And
men.
You got a great body and look gorgeous in a Speedo,
but
I bet,
no nipples.
Too. But no nipples, right? So and what does Matthew look like? Same body?
He just looked like him.
You know what Maury's afterlife is? Maury's afterlife is where Matthew then gets to spend an eternity with somebody who has a better body than he does. So you've actually put Matthew in hell. Right? If you had that awesome body and brought Matthew with you to the afterlife, first of all, you'd never shut up about your body.
Yeah, but he would never shut up about it either, going, you finally look great.
No, that would be
dead.
His hell. At a pool, you with other dudes, micro-cheating like crazy. Matthew's not going to pee for a million years. Poor guy.
If you could bring one thing with you to the afterlife, what would it be? I would have to say it would be my iPhone.
Really?
Yeah, but you're not going to get any service.
And you're already going to be in the cloud.
Oh! Boop, boop, boop.
Why would I get service? It's the afterlife.
No, but
they got everything.
Yeah, but who's the provider?
Okay, so what does your afterlife look like then, Mocha?
Oh, man. It would have like a giant wrestling ring.
Okay.
Just outside of the wrestling ring would be a massive TV.
Yeah.
With a PS4 attached to it.
Yeah.
With unlimited games.
Right.
And right next to the massive TV with the video games and PS4 would be like the most expensive Bowflex you could get.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of free weights.
Right.
But no table with all you can eat pasta?
And then right before, and then right beside the Bowflex, an all you can eat table full of pasta.
What about women?
And beside the pasta table?
Yeah.
Just women.
Okay. Because you're dead, right? You're dead.
Yeah, I'm dead.
You're dead. Like, why not? That's not cheating.
It's still, if I'm dead, I can still eat pasta, get swole, and wrestle and play video games.
No, you're right. I know a lot of people say, no, listen, it's not cheating if I'm, you know, it's not cheating if I'm out of town. You know, it's not cheating if I'm, but I think that really you can say it's not cheating if I'm dead. Yeah. Right?
What about you? Are you just walking around in a Speedo?
I don't do afterlife
hypotheticals.
Not
doing the afterlife stuff.
No, but paint us a picture.
Paint you a picture, Maury. You've painted all the picture I need to see today.
Yeah, with your big fat ass nipples. All right, next question.
Okay, how about not only next question, but next call? Steph Fulgi?
Hello. Fulgi.
Okay.
My last name is Fulginiti, so...
Oh.
Fulginiti. What's going on?
Sounds Irish.
Very Irish. We got that.
All right, Steph, what is your question?
Hi.
Hi.
So I was, I was wondering, what are some of your tips of how a young couple can save to buy a house and have a family?
Ooh. Wow. Okay. Steph, how old are you?
I'm 27.
Are you married?
We are not married yet, no.
Okay. So are you thinking about getting married or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. We've been thinking about getting married for a while, but again, finances are kind of, in the way, and right now we're still living with family, and, you know, we kind of prefer to have our own place before being married and starting a family, so.
How long have you been together with your guy?
4 years.
Do you know each other's financial history?
Yes.
Okay.
How much do you plan, or how much is expected of you to spend on your wedding?
I mean, I'm Italian, obviously.
Yeah,
so
it sounds pricey. Your last name sounds like it translates to expensive wedding.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Don't do that.
That's the thing. I mean, we've talked about it, and I told him what, because he's actually, from the UK, so he's got a very small wedding, a very small family, and like their weddings are very different to ours.
Yeah.
And he's like, we are not doing that.
And I
agree.
Don't do that.
You know,
don't do it.
No.
Don't. You want to buy a house. Do you live in like a super expensive part of the city or what?
I mean, I grew up in Toronto. I grew up in North York, but like right now we're living in Mississauga with my dad.
Okay.
So,
but when your goal is to get married and get out of your parents' house, the idea of spending, you know, $50,000+ on a wedding is asinine.
Oh, yeah.
Have you
I agree.
Guys been saving money already to potentially make your first home purchase?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you're already on a roll. What are your spending habits like outside of just like saving for a house? Like, do you spend more than he does? Are you spending it on kind of like ridiculous items, or have you been able to scale back?
I mean, our spending on things has scaled back a lot, but we still like to go out to eat, you know, let's say a couple times a week, because we work opposite shifts. So when we actually have like a night off together, you know, we're like, oh, we don't want to cook. Let's just go out. So I know that's something that we need to work on, but
how much debt do you have?
Quite a bit.
Yeah, how much debt?
I've got
I've got, so student loans, right now I've got about maybe 25 grand.
Okay, and what does he have?
He's got maybe, he's got debt back in the UK and it's maybe 12,000 pounds.
What about, what about credit cards?
He doesn't have any credit cards.
What about your credit cards?
I've got maybe 6,000.
Okay, so you're at,
so you're at $46,000 in debt right now.
Okay, you got a car?
Yes.
Okay, how much you owe on the car?
I don't know. We've only had it for about a year. So
okay, so
quite a bit.
Quite a bit. So let's say what, 15 grand you own a car?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So now you're at pushing,
you're almost at 60 grand.
You're almost at $60,000 in debt and you still live at home and you want to buy a house?
Eventually.
No,
No. Steph, here is what I would say. And if you talk to anybody, like any financial advisor or anything, the first thing that they would tell you to do is clear that debt.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Like you need to clear that. Should be, that should be your number one, like saving to buy a house, having a family. That all has to take, you know, backseat to you and your boyfriend clearing that debt, bringing it way down.
Yeah.
How often are you guys going out for dinner?
I would say maybe twice a week.
Okay. No. No, honey. No.
Yeah. You got to cut that out completely.
Do you? How much do you make? Do you mind? Can we ask you how much you make?
Sure.
Okay. What do you make?
I can tell you biweekly. Roughly. I make about biweekly is $1,400.
Okay. So you make about $3,000 a month, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. And your fella's roughly around the same?
About the same.
Okay. Okay. So that's six, and then you can't afford a house right now.
Yeah.
You can't.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So of that, say $6,000 a month, what are you guys putting away in savings? Like, what's your overhead at the end of the month combined? What does it cost to just pay for your lives bare minimum?
Bare minimum to pay off everything that like we owe.
And going out and all that stuff. What are you spending on life?
Maybe about $1,500.
Okay, so you guys are then saving what, like $4,500 a month?
Well, not really.
Okay, so
what are you? That's like bare minimum that we have to spend.
At the end of the month, what do you guys have left over?
I put $500 a month in.
Okay, and what does he put in?
He sort of has his own savings for paying off
nothing.
UK debt.
Okay, so he hasn't been putting anything in.
And what do you guys pay on? What do you guys? You live with your father. What do you pay on rent?
We don't.
You don't. Okay, so hold on a second here. You guys piss away $5,000 a month and you don't pay rent?
Well, no, it's not pissing away money, really.
What do we do with it? I don't know.
What
are the two of you spending $1,000 a week on?
You're not spending money on property tax. You are not spending money on hydro. You're not spending like basic utility.
No.
Are you guys doing minimum payments on your debt?
Oh no! I've in the last year I've brought my debt down probably by half.
Okay, so what are you contributing a month on debt?
I'm putting about $1,500.
Okay,
on my student loans, yeah.
Okay, Jesus, yeah. You guys, you have to get better with your money.
Yeah.
You have to do a full audit of what you spend. Every dollar. Okay. Take 2 months and literally track every single dollar of what you spend, and you're going to realize how ridiculous it is. Because you guys are in a fortunate situation. You're a young couple that is not paying any money to live every month as far as rent or mortgage goes. And you're collectively, you got $6,000 a month to pay down debt and save. You should be able to do that. You really should. Yeah. But buying a new car and going for dinner twice a week when you yourself have $30,000 in personal debt doesn't get the job done.
No.
So I'll give you a piece of advice, Steph, and maybe you and your boyfriend could try this. Because my wife and I did this before we bought our first house together.
Yeah.
And it actually opened our eyes and it worked, which is pretty much what Roz said, where you got to track your spending.
Mm-hmm.
So we sat down, opened up a document on the computer, and we went through our credit card spending habits. We just opened up like the past, like maybe let's say 3 months worth of bills and tracked everything. Mm-hmm. And then all that spending. And then we went through and figured out what we were paying on bills, tracked all of that. And then we kind of got like a baseline, figured out what it was in the past 3 months that we were actually spending our money on minus bills. Like, forget about the bills because we know that that's what we had to pay, right? And yeah. We were looking at all the frivolous stuff, like the going out for dinner or mm-hmm. ordering in or, you know, dumb mm-hmm. little gadgets that I was buying. And we yeah. looked at all of that and tallied that up and was like, oh my God, we are spending all this extra money on junk that we don't need. Mm-hmm. Or stuff that we know we could survive without if we're trying to buy a house.
Yeah.
We wanted to get yeah. out of the condo and get into a house. And yeah. we did, and we, like, it, once you see it in front of you, you know exactly how much just junk that you're spending your money on. And we smartened up and scaled way, 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 way back and saved all that money yeah. in order to get into the housing market.
I will yeah. say, Mocha and Jenna did it right. And I'll leave you with this because I know Maury wants to get off you some of his words of wisdom. But I will say this. At the end of the month for you guys, after paying off your debt, and I don't mean just doing yeah. minimum payments. Sometimes I would say even doubling up on your payments of your debt.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? The one yeah. question at the end of the month, after your debt has been taken care of, you guys should just look at each other and say, this month, did we save more than we spent? And that answer right. should always be yes.
Okay.
You pay nothing in rent or mortgage. Okay? So double up on your debt payments. And at the end of the month, you should be able to look at each other and say, did we save more than we spent? And that answer should always be yes.
Okay.
Always. No question.
And within that financial document, make sure you add in there exactly as Roz is saying, the money that you are spending on clearing that debt.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Now, damn it, Maury, what would you like to say?
I was just going to say, when we were saving up to put our down payment down on the condo, when we figured out how much we had to put down,
yeah.
we actually ate things like Kraft dinner almost like every night.
Yeah.
And, you know, put tons, like we didn't go out. We yeah. didn't buy clothes. We didn't. Anything until we saved the $10,000 down payment for our 35-year mortgage.
Right, $10,000. Could you imagine Maury did this at a time when you only needed 10 grand down payment?
I know.
That sounds like a dream.
Right? Isn't that crazy? Yeah. $10,000. You don't get that anymore.
Yeah,
you don't get
not
that.
Even
no.
close.
No, no.
But out of that, I learned something. Like, if you need to save, you got to cut back on
everything.
Good food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now
that's
look at Maury.
And then once we get it, we can Uber Eats, right?
Yeah. Maury spent $35 on ice cream on Uber Eats last week.
Oh my goodness.
And that was one order.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, but I yeah, earned see, that.
Yeah, okay. No.
Maury forever in debt. I hope that helps, Steph.
No, it definitely does because even, you know, like I started out saying, no, we don't really buy small things, but clearly there's something that I'm missing because we must be, you know, a few dollars here and there will add up, right?
So yeah, oh my God,
I
for
think,
sure.
Yeah, really tracking it. And I think that's sort of the key is like you said, just track it
yeah.
and really pay attention to what we're spending because, yeah, there's got to be small things here and there that
when you want to save money on something that's going to be a forever thing, you got to stop spending yeah. money on something that you put in the toilet afterwards, like you don't, you know, pee it out.
Very true. Very true.
Sure.
And once you start getting that credit card debt down,
yeah,
try your best not to use that credit card. If you got to pay for something, pay for it in cash.
Yeah,
will do.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. Hope that helps
get those down. It really, really does. So I really appreciate it.
Oh, and of course.
Glad that you guys could take the time to kind of smarten me up and kind of.
No worries.
Yeah.
Hey, Steph, between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
Oh, stop.
So I've been listening to you guys for 8 years.
Yeah.
And since the very beginning, Mocha's always been my favorite.
Hey.
Thanks.
No, stop. You don't gotta say anything else.
No. You'll like this. I was talking to my boyfriend too, and he said, you got to tell Mocha that he's my favorite because his laugh is so contagious.
No proxy votes in this show, honey. Okay? You got to show up to vote.
Thanks,
Dad.
You'd
be here if you could. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye.
Good morning. Bye.
Question from Olivia Beauchamp White.
Yeah.
What is the best and worst purchases you've ever made?
Oh, boy.
Damn it, Maury. I know you got a laundry list.
You've ever made?
I was going to say the worst purchase I ever made was I went to an art opening and I wanted to buy the cheapest thing they had there. It was like, you know, Warhols and so on and so forth. Yeah. So the only thing I could afford was an original Warhol advertisement for the London Museum from 1987.
You bought a flyer?
I bought a flyer for $900.
Oh my God! $900?
Oh my God.
Then,
yeah.
It turns out I bought a fake.
No!
Oh.
Did you really?
Turns out I bought, because then I was like, how much is this worth? And I went online and was reading about how this is like one of the most, I guess, copied pieces of a Warhol for people who can't afford Warhol.
No.
Is the ad for this specific exhibit at the Tate Modern.
Oh, so how did you know that yours was a fake?
Because I looked at what the original was and there's markings on it. And I'm right. like, I don't have those markings.
Right. Oh my God.
Oh, damn.
You bought a fake Warhol flyer?
That sucks, dude.
It's still hanging in the office.
Is What's, it? Yeah, why what, not? You paid $900 for it.
What's your best purchase?
Oh, my goodness. I'd say my best purchase would be our condo.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess I haven't really purchased it yet.
No.
No. Bank still owns that.
Yeah.
How about you, Ross?
I'm trying to think of what my worst purchase would be. I'm guessing at some point, like I remember spending way more money than I had. Mm-hmm. At the time, like I'm talking way more money than I had on a custom pair of red leather pants.
Yeah.
Right? Like way more money. Like these were hundreds upon hundreds of dollars.
Okay.
And I remember going into debt for it.
For pants.
I went into debt for pants at one point, Maury. And I really thought that I would be wearing them for life. You know, I'm like, there's no time that I can conceivably see in my future where I still wouldn't look cool in red leather pants.
Where are they now?
I have no idea. I found out my black leather pants, but I don't know what happened to the red leather pants. They were like a dark red, like weird, like ox blood color, like not even cool red.
There's no way the black ones were the red ones that you just painted?
No. So I bought a pair. I went into debt for I think I paid $700 for them because I had them custom made.
$700 yeah, for leather pants?
Yeah, I think I paid
custom leather pants.
I think I paid $700 for a pair of custom leather pants.
Jeez.
And so that was a mistake. I remember, I don't regret a lot of things, but at that time I really, cause I thought it was going to get me tons of chicks and everything else. Right. and it didn't work. Right. Yeah. It didn't work because I didn't need it.
okay.
No, I'm just kidding. So I spent so much money on those and I really regretted it because it really put me in the hole for a very, very long time. The other regret was, and I don't know if it was something specific, but at the time I was recording a lot of music and gear was very expensive. It's not like today where you have GarageBand and all these stuff that you can just throw on a Mac and they basically come for free. All that stuff you had to buy separately. And somebody approached me in a mall one time and offered to give me a credit card. And I was like, yeah, totally cool. And I knew I needed all this stuff. And I thought that I could pay it off easily. And I got locked into a credit card where I put $21,000 on a credit card. I put $21,000 on a credit card that had a 19% interest rate on it.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're talking like a lifetime to pay that off.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was an 18 point something percent interest rate on it.
And I put
21 grand on it.
Oh my God.
When I was not making money. This is that I'm paying $700 for custom leather pants and doing this at the same time. Right. I had no financial literacy whatsoever.
Oh
zero.
My God.
Zero. And once I got out of that, I realized that I needed to, and I know we just had this call where it's very similar, but I knew I needed to become smart about money. And it was after that I started to really, really read and I realized how much I did not know about money. How much I didn't know about
you
money.
You must have sold the leather pants for the credit card.
Might have. Or I probably did stuff in the leather pants that I don't know. I regretted it.
It's full of shame now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And as far as the best thing I ever purchased, you know, you can't go wrong with real estate, right?
Yeah.
But I never had my truck, sure, but I bought that when I was like 40 something. Like I don't take pride in a lot of things because I don't have a real love for material things. Even with clothes, I found a pair of jeans that I like and I bought, you know, 9 pair and they all look the exact same.
Yeah.
And I don't have like a whole thing of anything that I'm proud of. Like I don't have.
I was thinking about the same thing. Like what's the best thing that I've ever purchased?
I learned from Mocha that you have to put your credit card down when you're giving birth. So could you say that the best thing you ever bought was your kid?
No.
I would. Oh, okay. I have one actually.
Yeah.
Our Casper mattress.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like no joke. We are extremely thrilled with that mattress and just the comfort.
Yeah.
I would say that would be the best because.
Okay.
I just get like a great night's sleep.
Yeah. There you go.
Except for the nights when I have those night terrors and I wake up screaming.
I had a couch made. because I'm huge. And we were having, after we had Roxy, I looked at our couch and I was like, this thing in a couple of years is not going to be big enough for the family. I'm not going to be the guy that's sitting on the end.
Yeah.
And so I had a couch made, and Catherine was like, you're crazy. And I'm like, no, this is the best decision I'm ever going to make. And it's a huge purchase because we have a sectional, like a chaise, the big sort of chaise on the end of it. And normally those things go one cushion, two cushion chaise.
Chaise.
Right? Yeah. Where I now have one cushion, two cushion, three cushion chaise.
Oh,
so I can lay down on the couch and I don't even touch the girls.
Yeah.
Like it's the biggest couch I've ever had in my life. It's huge, right? It's like I can lay down. I'm 6'4". I can fully lay down on the couch.
Uh-huh.
Legs extended, everything else. Catherine Roxy can still sit at the end.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All
right. So I would say that's the best purchase I ever made. Speaking of best purchases, Mocha.
Yes.
Let me tell you about this. Daily flights to London, England on Air Transat. Air Transat has direct flights to London, England, and twice a week to Manchester. Direct.
What?
Wow.
Of course, they got the museums. They got the historical sites, all the monuments, royal landmarks. You can just, fun fact, walk right up to Buckingham Palace, knock on the door, ask to see the Queen. And if you catch her on a good day, she'll invite you in for a cup of tea.
It does happen. I've heard that.
Right?
I've heard that.
Plus all the parks. And England is like super easy to navigate through. You can do that by foot, by bus. You can take one of those tours that take you right throughout the entire city. Hop on, hop off. Snap some pics. Say what's up to people. Visit airtransat.com for all the details on your next daily flight to London, England.
Faye is on the phone with a question for Ask Roz and Mocha.
Hi, Faye. How's it going?
Hi, Mocha. How are you?
Good, good, good. What is your question?
What's something that you guys think makes people look ridiculous, but they think it makes them look really cool? So for me, it was people who are sitting on their driveway blasting their music at like 1,000 at like 9 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Where do you live?
Yo, your neighborhood sounds lit.
So I live in Richmond Hill.
Yeah,
but
of course you do. We didn't have to. You didn't have to answer that.
Wow, on a Tuesday. Turn it up on a Tuesday.
What is something that people do that they think makes them look cool, but actually makes them look ridiculous?
Okay, I would say wearing sunglasses indoors.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay. Yeah. Sunglasses indoors when you're at the mall I would even see like dudes rocking sunglasses inside of nightclubs. I'm like, you look like a fool, a damn fool.
I'm guilty of sunglasses indoors.
No.
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, of course.
But you have bad eyes.
Yeah. Thanks, Maury, for reminding me of that.
I don't want to bring it up.
Right. Thanks. It's great. Love that. Good one. That's a classic, Mocha. That's a classic. I would say my stuff is more with speech. And I can't stand, and I don't know when it started, but I can't stand when I see people who are grown-ups use the term adulting.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, adulting is so fun. Look at me adulting. And it's weird because they're 30.
Yeah.
Right?
You're already an adult.
Yeah, you're an adult. And I don't understand that. People who use the term ideate instead of brainstorming. Right?
Who says, that's the first time I've ever heard that word.
Ideation. Shut up. You've never been in a meeting before. Or anybody else. Like, I hear people, you'll sit in meetings and if somebody ever uses the term, referring to themselves, because these are all from Instagram profiles and Twitter profiles that I make, right? When people refer to themselves as being goal-oriented or success-oriented, when you say that you're success-oriented, that means it's something special. Everybody is success-oriented.
Of course.
Everybody. Every single person. It does not make you special to say that you're... What, are you going to be failure-oriented? Right? No.
Lori, stop shaking your head. Yes.
We're all success-oriented. And also, anybody who ever uses the term man cave or bromance.
Look at you sitting over there adulting.
Yeah. Maury?
I was just going to say people that drink in an elevator on their way down to the lobby.
That, first of all, that is cool.
Because when I get on the elevator with like going home and there's a bunch of like loud, men drinking in an elevator, I'm like, oh, you think you look so cool?
What is not cool about that?
Because like I don't have a beer.
It's so funny being gay. Let me tell you.
Did you just say it's so funny being gay?
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can get on an elevator and see dudes drinking and being loud on an elevator and you take offense to it, right? where if I got on an elevator and was just full of women who were drinking,
yeah,
I would be like, this is the greatest thing ever, man.
Sure.
You go, girl. You yeah. guys
do
you
your
look,
thing.
Do your thing. Y'all look lit. Y'all look good. Love those shoes.
Goal-oriented.
Yeah, goal-oriented.
Whereas I get upstairs and call security.
Yeah, and you call security
yeah, you
on
snitch.
People. It's very weird. It's very, you're such a snitch with stuff like that.
Ridiculous.
No, you're such a snitch. It's not normal to do that. To see people having fun and you want to tell on them.
Yeah.
It wasn't the place to have fun.
There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a place to have fun and to not have fun.
Hey, Faye, thanks so much for your question today.
Thanks so much. I just wanted to tell you guys that I've been listening to you for as long as I can remember, since I was like 14 years old.
Oh, damn.
And I really appreciate you guys making the podcast because I have a ridiculously long drive to get to school and it makes my day.
Aw, thank you, Faye. Between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
I'm sorry, Mocha. I love you, but it's Roz.
Woo!
His sarcasm just like speaks to me.
Oh, wow.
Thank you. I'll clap for you, Faye.
Yo, I hope your neighbor turns up that music extra, extra, extra loud on a next Tuesday.
I'll just knock on his door and be like, excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
Too loud, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grow up. Start adulting.
Wow.
And be responsible. Thanks, Faye.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a good day.
All right, love.
All right. DN Zell wants to know, what sound can't you stand? Mm. For me, it's styrofoam rubbing against each other.
Good one.
What's that one sound that you can't stand?
I don't know if it's necessarily a sound, and I'm actually having a hard time saying the words right now because it's like it hurts my mouth so much to even say this.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a sound or the sight, but one thing that has made me go bonkers since I was young, every time I see it, is I can't look at a young kid when they start biting the woolen mitten. And just when they start biting wool, and you can see the wool going back and forth,
and
wet wool between
their
teeth. That sound to me is the worst thing in the world.
I don't even know how to describe it.
I punched that kid in the face.
Oh wow, damn! Damn, worry.
I have two. One, the sound my modem makes when it's thinking.
Okay.
I can't stand that because it's just like it sounds like something that's trying so hard.
Right. By modem, you mean.
The thing that puts the internet on the
computer. Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about yourself.
And the second thing is the sound of people upstairs partying.
Right. You just hate fun, right, man?
it's the weirdest
thing in the world. You don't like it when people party in your elevator. You don't like it when people party upstairs. You don't even like it when your modem parties.
but when it's upstairs, it's muffled fun.
Right.
I don't like the sound of muffled fun.
You're a terrible neighbor. Mocha, the sound you hate.
I would say cutlery, like scraping against dishes.
Oh,
the equivalent of, you know, fingernails on a chalkboard.
Really?
But like if somebody is cutting into, you know, like a piece of meat or whatever, and the fork or the knife scrapes across the plate,
Really? Because I actually quite like that sound.
Yeah,
it doesn't bother me.
I don't mind like cutlery, like clinking against one another.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, but it's
scraping
on
a plate.
It's scraping.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't like it. Not at all,
I would also add dentist drill. And the, I guess it's a sight thing as well, but when you see somebody, the doctor putting the, what do you call that, wooden stick?
The
hold
popsicle
your tongue
stick.
Down.
Yeah.
The tongue depressor.
I can't stand seeing somebody do that just because it's the
sight. But what sound does that make?
No, it's the same thing as the wool thing. I don't like the sight of tongue to wood.
Okay. But how often are you sitting in on somebody else's session where you're watching a doctor stick that wooden thing in the person's mouth and like press it down on their tongue.
I guess it happens to me when I'm at the dentist or whatever. I can't stand
it. So you don't like it when it's done to you?
As well,
but that doesn't
yes.
make a sound.
No, I know, but it's the same thing as the wool. I don't like the sight of tongue to wood.
No, it's
but
the sound for me.
No
the sound of somebody biting on a woolen mitten.
Oh, I guess it's the potential feeling for me.
Right. So it's not the sound of somebody gagging? That doesn't
no,
turn you
the
off?
Wood, no, it's the wood feeling.
Yeah. Okay, so tongue to wood, you don't like. Gagging, you have no problem with.
No.
Right.
All right, then.
Whatever, man, it's a podcast.
Okay, Margaret Fleming asks this question. What is one quality of yours that you would like your kids to inherit and one quality of yours that you really don't want them to inherit?
Jeez.
Damn, damn, damn.
That's hard. Do you think about this stuff, Maury? Because are you and Matthew planning on adopting or anything like that?
I just often think that if we did have a kid, that I hope that like, we couldn't live the lifestyle we have right now, right? And I wouldn't want the kid to adopt to that lifestyle. So,
what, your fabulous life?
No, my lazy ass life.
Oh, your lazy life.
You know what I mean? So I just hope that, you know, I mean, there are parts of what I do that I hope that our kid would adopt, which is, you know, when you get tasked with something, do it right away. Don't put work off.
Sure.
You know, because I learned a lot from when I was a kid versus now and stuff. So we often just say to each other, no, we're not ready for kids because it would ruin our lifestyle.
Right. Okay. So you're not even there. You're not even thinking about the inherited stuff yet. Mocha, what do you think about?
I think, so what I don't want Cruz to inherit is my hot-headedness.
Yeah.
Although now I'm kind of starting to see signs. He's only 19 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm starting to see like little signs of his getting frustrated rather quickly and like almost throwing mini tantrums. Yeah. And I'm like, oh man, don't become an adult and do that. That's not good.
Yeah.
What I would like for him to kind of inherit is something that I got from my dad, which is wanting just to work hard and be a good person, right? For the world, for your family.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's interesting. I fully agree with you on that. And I have a couple that are both good and bad. Like, I consider them to be character traits that are positive, where other people would see them as character traits that are negative, depending on who the person is in the situation.
Okay.
Like, I say that I would love for Roxy to be as competitive as I am.
Uh-huh.
Where other people look at that and say that level of competitiveness is a detriment. You don't want to be that competitive.
I mean,
I look at it as a positive.
Sure. Why not though? Why can't it be a positive though?
Because it's...
Because I think times have changed.
Because winning doesn't mean... Some people look at winning as a bad thing.
I don't know, man. Winning's winning still.
That's what I say. Why do something unless you're trying to win?
But we're not talking about necessarily like games or anything like that. Just like in life.
Yes.
Like, if I'm competing with somebody else,
yes,
for my dream job,
right?
I'm going to do what I can to be the absolute best at that,
yeah,
to get the job.
Yeah.
But I think you're talking more about games and stuff.
No.
In life,
winning
games. You want to be the best.
I'm very competitive. But I will say this, that the one thing that my kid, I know she has, which is she's very funny, and that's all I really wanted was just a kid who gets a joke and can tell a joke.
Yeah.
Right? Who understands where humor lies in a situation where if she's hurt, I can crack a joke and she'll laugh and she'll know what I'm doing. She doesn't take offense to it, being like, don't joke. This isn't the time for jokes, Dad.
Yeah.
So she does have a fantastic sense of humor, but most of my qualities I would want to see her when she's grown. Most of Catherine's qualities I want to see her use to grow.
Yeah.
So Catherine is very empathetic. She's so compassionate. She's so kind. All the things that I'm not really.
I don't know. You're pretty empathetic as well.
But I don't show it though.
Well.
But I don't show it though. Like, I don't go out of my way to show that. Like, if she's going to see somebody doing that on a daily basis, it's going to be your mom. It's not going to be me. So my traits that I would like her to have are the traits that will serve her as an adult.
Yeah.
Catherine's going to give her the traits to get her there.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay.
All right.
Andrew.
No, hold on.
Oh.
Before we get to Andrew, we're going to get to somebody who's waiting on the phone.
Oh, cool.
Hey, is this Celine?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Celine. Welcome to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Where are you from, Celine?
I'm from Ottawa.
Oh, nice.
All right, cool. Shout out to everyone in Ottawa.
Yeah. My question for you guys is, what is your favorite cheat meal?
Ooh, cheat meal. All right.
But when you say cheat meal, though, if I consider it to be a cheat meal, that would mean that I'm on some sort of regimen where I don't allow myself to have this on a regular basis. So I have my favorite things that I like to eat, but I would never consider them to be cheat meals. Some of them are disgusting.
Yeah.
But I would never consider, I don't deprive myself of anything. I just don't eat everything all the time.
Whereas I see cheat meal as something you eat and no one's allowed to know you eat it.
Right. Fair enough. Okay. Fair enough.
So let's go down that road then, Damon Mori. What is your favorite cheat meal?
My pre-meal. Because I eat a dinner before dinner sometimes where I order a meal, then get rid of it.
Before Matthew comes home.
It's been recently pierogies.
Really?
Like, there's a pierogi place that delivers, and they're absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
They're called the Miss Piggy because there's bacon in them.
So how many pierogies are you eating before your husband gets home?
Like 12.
Oh, my God.
What? Aren't you full, though, before you eat dinner?
Yeah, but, like, I eat it where there's still, like, an hour in between that and then dinner.
And are these potato-filled pierogies or cheese-filled pierogies?
Cheese
or?
And potato,
cheese,
yeah.
And potato.
Oh, my God.
And then on top it has that sour cream.
Bacon and sour cream and the little onions and stuff like that. Oh, those are so good.
So, Celine, I'll tell you, when I was on, like, a major, major health kick for a real long time watching what I ate, I would say my cheat meal, which is now my favorite meal to eat at any time. I could have this like 7 days a week, would be spaghetti with meat sauce and a side of veal parm.
Yeah.
So good.
How about you, Roz?
Yeah, I mean, the things that I try, the things that I don't eat all the time, but when I do, I absolutely destroy it, is anything fried, because I think I'm the only one who has a deep fryer at home, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So out of us, yes.
Well, yeah, out of us, right? So I have the deep fryer at home, and when I do fried chicken, it is like a full day process because I love fried chicken. Like,
you do the
I love
where you
fried
reuse
chicken.
The old grease from something else, and that way you're soaking it in old grease.
Oh yeah, because you know when you have a deep fryer, you don't change the oil every single time.
But then you get the remnants, the awesome remnants from what you cooked before.
Don't even worry. There's everything in there. Sometimes you pull out a piece of chicken, there's a little French fry stuck to it. It's so good. That crispy little bastard is so good. So I'm gonna say fried chicken is my. I love fried chicken. What's yours?
I think I'd have to go with the teen burger from A&W. I love that stuff. It's so good. With like some onion rings on the side or like a poutine or something. It's so good.
Wait, so this is not something that you eat all the time. Are you on a like a strict kind of eating plan right now?
I try to eat as best as as healthy as I can. But I'd like to think that sometimes, you know, once a week I deserve a burger or some pizza or some poutine, you know?
Mm.
But you know, A&W, sometimes you can get it without the bun, and they do a lettuce wrap of the burger.
They do?
Yeah. I learned that over the weekend, that you can get the burgers lettuce wrapped.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'd rather wait and do the cheat with the full experience.
Yeah.
Than to substitute.
Really, it's really interesting to me that you allow a burger as your cheat, but then your go-to burger is
the teen burger.
The teen burger.
Why not get the big one?
The grandpa burger.
The grandpa.
No, that's but why patties. Not? Why not go to a different burger place altogether and get something the size of your face?
Well, maybe she just really
like a
likes
Whopper?
A&W.
No, not like
what if she has a small face.
I don't know what kind of stuff you guys have in Ottawa, but you have to have a burger place that's serving a premium product. No.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, wait, but if you go to the Byward in Ottawa, they have that 24-hour diner. They make good burgers there.
Hold on a second. Now we got a Whopper on the brain. Because Whoppers are good.
Whoppers are delicious.
Oh,
are you
that
kidding?
Mayo? Mm. That doesn't taste like the mayo you buy in stores. Whopper mayo tastes so different than the mayo you buy in stores.
Hey, Celine, thanks very much for joining us on the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Right I hope on. You guys have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Now I need a burger.
Yo, Curtis, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Welcome to the podcast.
Awesome. I'm excited.
What is your question, sir?
So I've been listening to the podcast for a few months now, and I kind of been listening to them all together, and I got to episode 37 there where you had that moment talking about you know, you felt bad about leaving your wife at home all the time with Cruz there.
Oh, and you're talking about me, Mocha. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am, and I just wanted some advice on, you know, how you got through that, and what are some things I could do for my wife, as we just had a baby, and making her feel appreciated.
Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
How long ago did you guys have a kid?
She was 11 weeks yesterday.
Oh, wow. Damn, wow. So brand new.
Yeah, super new.
Oh, boy, I remember those days. Have you guys had a conversation?
I've mentioned it to her a couple times, but she is a woman of few words, and she doesn't like to ask for a lot.
Yeah.
So I kind of asked her how I was doing, and she said I was doing fine, because I am trying my best. I'm obviously not just sitting around doing nothing, but I just wondered if you had any tips for things I could do without asking her.
After all that stuff that went down on the radio and that you heard on the podcast, you know, I did have a conversation with Jenna, and I think continuously offering and giving your support is huge. Is super important. I think showing her that you're willing to be there, whether you're with the baby or not, like just you being there, I think is big enough support. And just always ask her how she's doing and if she needs anything. Because, you know, like the conversation that I had with Jenna was like, I was like, you know, like, why don't you go, like, leave me alone at home with Cruz and you can go to do something, go to Starbucks or whatever. She's like, I don't want to do that though. Like, I want to be at home. I want to be with the family. And yes, I do want to go out sometimes, but, you know, like, I will let you know if that I ever get to that point. So you, there's no need for you to feel bad or to get busted up about the whole situation. Right. I don't know. I don't know what happened that day on the radio. Like, I don't know if it was a mixture of just like,
it was just a huge buildup,
thinking of everything and like not talking to someone. Oh, let me tell you this, Curtis. One thing that I could, I would highly recommend and suggest, right?
Okay.
Is, I don't know if you have a best friend or you have someone who is also either a new dad or someone who's had kids already, but someone that you could talk to about your feelings. I felt, for me, at least during that time, that helped a lot because I knew people, guys who had been fathers already and somebody else who was also a new dad who was experiencing the same kind of thing that I was going through at the time or what I thought my wife was going through at the time. And I think having a friend like that to talk to about your feelings is super important as well.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And it's there's an aspect of trauma to all of this. I mean, your lives are completely flipped upside down when you have a kid, and it's everything. It's so consuming and it's very emotional. But the great thing about that whole process of having a kid is the stuff that hurts the most is not the stuff that you remember years later.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
You don't remember the 3 weeks on end when your kid was screaming and you were heartbroken and you got no sleep and you were coming into work every day and wanted to throw up and you were a zombie. You don't remember that stuff, man. You don't remember. Right. That's not the stuff that you take with you. You take you take the cool stuff. And because everybody's kid goes through hell. Everybody goes through hell with their kid. You, and then you maybe you joke about it, whatever, but that's not the stuff that you take with you, you know? And it's, and it works the same way with the couple. When somebody is just so beaten down and broken and they've just given everything that they can give, and then maybe the other person in the relationship has to go and work, or the household just starts to crumble from within and they're missing the kid and they feel like they're not contributing, all that stuff, when it is all said and done, that's not the stuff you take with you either. You don't take those moments with you. You know, the sort of crap that you go through is in the moment, and it doesn't come with you. You know, the stuff that comes with you is all the amazing things that you guys do together as a family.
Right. That's awesome.
All right.
Right.
All right. Thank you so much, guys.
Unless your kid is one of those kids that like slings poo at you one day. Right? You'll remember that forever.
Well, yeah, of course. But that's a good story, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Curtis.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Right all on, the best, brother. Take care. Okay. Now it's time for Andrew's question.
Okay. Andrew Bluin, B-L-O-U-I-N, Blown, writes, what do you prioritize more, your work / professional life or your social life? I don't have a social life.
That's not true.
I don't have a social life.
You have a friend.
Who?
Frank.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't have a social life with him.
I don't know.
They're not like out on the town every night.
No, like
social life is hanging out, like building a deck or something.
No,
like,
but
you do sociable things.
No, but that's not a social life though. I don't have a social life. Like, I don't have a life outside of sort of home or work that I enjoy, whether it be with Catherine or without Catherine. I don't have a social life. I have friends that I will text every now and then maybe once, I don't know, every 6, 7, 8 months we'll get together. But other than that, I don't have a social life.
I think what Andrew means is social life is in you're out almost, you know, every single week doing stuff, right? I would say for me, the one thing Andrew did not mention here, because he said, what do you prioritize more, your work / professional life or your social life, is Andrew didn't mention like your family life. And for me, at least in this point in my life, it is all about my family.
Okay, so maybe it's deliberate though. Let's leave family out of this.
Okay.
And just say your work or your social life.
Oh,
what takes what takes priority?
Work.
Yeah.
Maury? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it seems to be work.
Seems to be work.
It always it's work because I'm always doing stuff for the show and you know, stuff like that. And I want to. Like, I don't go out clubbing and, you know, I don't, you know, dance about the town.
I'm too old to go for clubbing.
You want
to
go clubbing and stuff?
No, because the minute I show up at the club and I'm standing at coat check, I'm like, I want to go home.
Right. Like, I just can't imagine being out that late. I would like to go dancing.
Uh-huh. But at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Plus, I can't justify spending money on a drink.
How much do you think a drink costs at a dance club?
Like sometimes drinks cost like $8, $9. It's ridiculous.
I don't know because I haven't been to a nightclub in, I don't even know. When's the last time I went to a nightclub?
I don't know.
Where you had to like pay a cover charge to go in.
Oh, geez. I don't know.
Like $5 cover.
Like 20 years?
Like the last time I went.
20 years?
Wow. Damn. The last time I went to a club was $5 cover.
Yeah.
Then you wait in a long ass line for a drink. You get like a small juice glass of something.
Right.
And it's like $8, $9.
Wow. I probably went to, the last time I went to a dance club, I went and had a dance where I just loved it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 2002.
Wow. Holy cow.
Yeah.
And I bet you that nightclub is now a condo.
No, it's not. It's still there.
Oh, yeah? Wow.
Yeah, it's still there.
Wow, one of the last. It's
one of the last.
Legendary.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't really have a social life, but I wouldn't mind having a social life. Like, I'm not adverse to it.
Loser.
Just shut up.
Just kidding. Leo asks, by the end of your careers, how would you want the people to remember you by?
Oh, geez, that's a real deep question.
Can I say swole?
You can say swole. You can say anything. It's your legacy. You own your legacy. Maury?
I want to be remembered as someone who gave back to their community and always told a good joke.
Then don't you think you should start doing those things?
No, because I'm going to remember that by
anyway. Maury and I were driving in the station this morning.
Yeah.
And we pulled onto a road before we hit the merge onto the highway. And so we had like two sort of like city streets that we had to drive down where Maury was following a cop. And when Maury's following a cop, he stops where he's supposed to at a stop sign, uses his indicator.
He follows all the rules.
Lets another driver go ahead, gives enough space between him and the driver in front, yields to merge, gets onto the highway, doesn't automatically whip across four lanes, goes one lane, stops, one lane, stops, one lane, stops. It's all good. So we do this, right?
Yeah.
It's a total of 3 minutes. Cop goes one way, we continue on the other way. And Maury goes, well, there's my good deed for the day. And I was like, what?
Following the rules?
Following the rules. You feel that you need to be rewarded for following rules.
Holy cow.
Look, I had my day in court to get out of a ticket the other day, and I don't want another ticket now because I
stop
had
driving
my
erratically.
Yeah, but don't just do the things.
And you know how earth-shattering, how like nerve-wracking it is to be in a courtroom?
Is it earth-shattering or is it nerve-wracking?
Yeah, which one?
Make nerve-wracking to be in a courtroom in front of a judge.
Right. What did you say? Did you lie?
Of course. I had to go through a red light. Okay. So I got a ticket for it. They took my picture and they sent it to me.
You got busted on a red light cam.
Yeah.
Oh, I was with you that morning.
You were. You're in the picture.
Right.
And, oh, no, are you?
Throwing up peace signs.
And so I finally had my day in court, you know, and I'm seeing one person after the other.
How much was the ticket, by the way? How much was the ticket?
Are you pleading guilty?
And how much was the ticket?
The ticket was $340.
Okay. Ooh, that's a big ticket.
Hang on. Did you tell your husband, Matthew, that he had to go to court to fight a ticket?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
But I just sort of was like, yeah, it's a ticket thing.
Yeah.
And so then you're in court. They always ask you, the judge goes, are you pleading guilty?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am. Okay. And then the lady stands up, reads you your Haranda rights.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. The Harambee rights. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Dicks off a Harambee.
So I'm standing there. Are you pleading guilty? I'm like, yes, but I have a reason. He's like, that doesn't matter to me. I'm like, but I need to tell you to get off my chest. He's like, well, if you're going to feel better, but.
What was the reason that you gave?
I'm like, there was a car really closely behind me and I had to go because I was worried about him ramming into my back. And he's like, okay, great. He goes, you're guilty. Here's how much I'm charging you unless you feel it should be less. And I'm like, I do because I'm a young guy on a fixed income. It worked.
Young guy on a fixed income. Hold on a second. Yeah. But can't they just check the photo and see that there was like literally nobody behind you?
Yeah, but he was way back there.
Right. Okay, so first of all, you're not young. You're 40.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but
you're
middle-aged. I know, but I have the blessings
say
of
the, youthfulness. Say the words right now. I'm a middle-aged man.
Nope, not for another 10 years.
Yeah, no. Say I'm a middle-aged man.
No. Do you know how hurtful that feels?
So how much was the ticket? How much did you end up paying?
$145.
Right.
Did you tell Matthew
crazy,
about it?
Right?
Hell no.
Oh. What, you tell him that you went and you just showed the court who's boss and you won?
By saying I'm on a fixed income?
Yeah, see, fixed income. Like, what are you, 65? On a fixed income?
I'm a young guy on a fixed income.
Jeez, man. All right, well, there you go. I don't know what the question was, but that was a whole lot of answer.
All right, next question.
All right.
VJW, what are the three weirdest things you know about the other one?
Oh, God.
Three weirdest things.
I mean, there's something weird about Roz, but I mean, if I can say. Not weird, interesting.
But the question is weird.
Yeah, but Roz looked at me with anger, so I'm going to change it to interesting.
Okay. So you're changing the question. What are the three most interesting things you know about?
Whenever we're walking through the garage, Roz always has to walk on my right side, no matter what. Even if we start on the left, Roz will switch and move to the right.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
It's true. I do that.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I do. Because if I don't, it's going to be a terrible day.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think that you were superstitious like that,
I'm not superstitious. Just certain things have to be certain ways.
And I always look up. I'm like, he knows something.
No, like you think it's because I know
that's
where the
superstitious,
I know.
Dude.
It's not superstitious.
Yeah,
it is. It's just not. It's not a superstition. It's not a superstition. I just prefer things to be a certain way. I prefer certain.
So if you and I are walking down the street, and if you are standing on left side, you would automatically try to go around.
No, because I haven't.
Right?
No, because I haven't built a routine out of it.
Oh,
I haven't built a routine out of it. Like I prefer a routine to be a routine. So when Maury and I get out of the car in the morning, I walk the same side of him. If it's easier for me to go around the parking garage column pole one way, it's easier to do that, I won't do it. I will go around the other way because that's the way that I normally go.
Really?
And then
I immediately look up. I'm like, something's gonna fall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're superstitious.
It's not superstitious.
Yeah.
It's not.
So three weirdest things you know about.
No, interesting.
Interesting.
Jeez.
Well, I know Roz always sleeps in his jeans.
That's not true.
No, he's usually naked.
Shut up, Maury.
I know that you've traveled across the country once to buy a pair of tight pants.
I know I didn't.
There's a big sale.
Nah.
Don't have to hide it. And I also know that
just making up stuff right now.
I know that you don't mind that your girlfriend texts me every day.
That I don't mind. I don't. What I don't like is that you have her phone number memorized.
You have a call right now?
No, because it's 2018 and nobody has anybody else's phone number memorized except you have my girlfriend's number memorized, which I think is weird. I think it's weird.
We're good friends.
I'm Listen, happy. I'm happy you're friends because there's a lot of days that I'm not around. Now, I don't think. Okay.
Listen, I like my routine.
Yeah, shut up. You're such a jerk. You are such a jerk, man.
Just kidding. I'm kidding. All right. Next question. This comes from.
We only picked on Roz.
Oh, jeez. You want us to go on you?
We don't have enough time.
Remember. Interesting.
Interesting.
Oh, interesting. Weird.
I don't think we have enough time to go through all the weird things that you have, Maury.
Weird things.
You put your boogers on your underpants. You steal shampoo from the gym. You're not allowed to use the master bathroom. There's the list of weird things with you is endless.
He's not using the bathroom. That's not a weird thing about me.
Yeah, it is.
Because you don't tell your husband.
You don't stand up for yourself at home.
Say to him, no, I am also living in this condo. I also paid for this condo. I am entitled to use the master ensuite.
Pick your battles. I'd rather be able to eat popcorn and mayonnaise than use the bathroom.
Ew, popcorn and mayonnaise.
And he eats popcorn and mayonnaise. This is why we don't do Maury. Popcorn and mayonnaise. Okay. That sounds like what they used to feed people during the Depression.
We got nothing else except for this. Have fun. Okay, Steven asks,
Mom.
Was there a time you cried pathetically in front of your significant other?
Oh, I thought that read pathologically.
You cried pathologically?
Maury.
How do you cry pathologically? You know what?
I didn't write this.
Let's go with that one.
Yeah.
Maury, name a time that you cried pathologically in front
really
of your husband,
cry?
Dan and Matthew.
Yeah, name a time that you pathetically or pathologically cried in front of your significant other.
I guess the first time I cried this way for Matthew was when I called him when I got hit by a car.
Oh, so recently.
He goes, I've never heard you cry like that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be
like
it.
Like sobbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and when we saw A Star Is Born.
Right. Can I tell?
So you got when you got hit by a car and when you saw A Star Is Born.
Similar cry.
Wow.
Okay, can I tell you? I'm going to tell you the one time that Maury was like half crying.
Yeah.
Was on the phone with me.
Yeah.
And he called. we would finish the show, right? And I was in the parking garage and Maury had already left. And like maybe 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
That Maury was ahead of me. And it was the time that he got a flat tire.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And he pulled off the main road, went to Petro Canada, and he called me half crying that he didn't know what to do and he didn't know how to change a flat tire.
Well, because I just pictured, like, how am I supposed to go on with my life?
Like, you're stranded somewhere.
Yeah. He's stranded.
Like, what am I supposed
to
do?
At a major intersection with thousands of cars going by every 30 seconds.
The only way I knew that my car was flat is because somebody had to get out of their car, knock on my window going, dude, your tire's flat.
But also, you were
driving all the way down the street with a flat tire.
Also, you were a 4-minute walk back to work at that point, which is a 5-minute walk to the subway, which is a 10-minute subway ride to your house.
Yeah, but in the moment, I'm just like, oh my God, I'm stuck.
And you're crying.
He's crying.
Like, over a flat.
I can't leave.
So I show up at the gas station, I get out of the car, and legit, Maury looks like, it looked like Maury got hit by a car. Right.
Do you know how to cry, Roz?
Do I know how to cry? I can cry. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever pathologically or pathetically cried in front of Catherine. I don't know. Maybe I had a breakdown about my dad one time.
Yeah.
But I don't think other than that.
Maybe when Roxy was born?
Yeah, I cried, sure, but I don't think it was pathetically crying.
Didn't you cry once while watching Grey's Anatomy?
Maybe, but again, not
making stuff up.
Not
like when Tegan and Sarah's song was playing.
Not pathetically, though. Like, not sobbing like, you suck.
Man, I get a flat tire. I don't know what to do.
I got hit by a car. Where? Matthew. Somebody hit me with your car. Where?
I don't want to talk about this car hitting thing because I still don't believe the full story. I think you're
we can call the witness. We can call Gabe, my angel.
Yeah.
The one time that I cried pathetically, I would say, was on my wedding day.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yes, you did.
Okay.
Oh, I remember
that. Not the time that you guys saw.
Really?
There was another time earlier in the day.
Oh.
Oh, because when I saw you cry, you look up when you cry.
Yeah, really, you're
staring. I had to hold the tears in.
Yeah.
No, it was like hours before that.
Oh.
When Jenna and I did, it's called The First Look.
Yeah.
Where you meet up, just the two of you, before the ceremony, before everything happens, and you have that moment by yourselves, just the two of you. And I remember we were at a hotel, and I was waiting in the lobby. She was getting ready in the room, and then she came downstairs. And at that time, like, I knew, okay, this is it. I'm standing here by myself as of this moment. As soon as I turn around and my wife-to-be walks down the hallway, it's go time. This is the day.
Yeah.
Right? And this is going, we are going to officially be Mr. and Mrs. by the end of the day. And I remember I saw her and I bawled, dude. Bawled. And she was like looking at me like, idiot, why are you crying like this?
Really?
And then we
it just killed you.
Oh, dude. Like, I just full of emotion. Like, yeah. I was happy, obviously.
Sure.
Right? And then when we saw the pictures afterwards, right, the photographer with that quick shutter speed caught every single millisecond of me from the time when I saw her and like started to break down. Like, it looked like she walked into the room and said, your family was just murdered.
Right. Yeah. Mocha, there's been an accident.
Yeah, there's been an accident. I know it's our wedding day and everything, but I got some bad news.
I can tell you when I'm going to cry next.
Why?
Every New Year's when they play that old Aunt Zine song, I always burst into tears.
Why?
I don't know why. I don't even know what the song is about or anything, but it's just so sad seeing people kiss each other on TV.
It's not because you're with the person you love.
I just, whenever I hear that, and old Aunt Zine or whatever it is.
Old Aunt Zine,
And you see people in Times Square kissing each other and stuff, and I'm just like, oh my, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Those are drunks who met that night, right?
It's so beautiful.
Like, that's like, that's lower than a Tinder hookup.
But ain't it great?
Right? That's like cold toes and whiskey. you know, 8 hours later hookup.
Yeah. Cold toes and whiskey?
Yeah.
Yeah, because like, they're so long, man. The only way you can heat up is by drinking booze.
But ain't it beautiful?
Yeah, sure is.
All right. Well, guys.
That was the special podcast.
Yeah, Ask Roz and Mocha, special edition. Please rate, review, and share with your friends anywhere it is that you get the Roz and Mocha Show podcast from. We would love you for it. We would appreciate it. And we'll catch you on the next podcast.
There we go.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
On KISS 92.5.
KISS925.com.
Or on the KISS 92.5 app.